Psalm chapter 1. I went to see Brother Bob Edwards yesterday. He's doing better. He's got that wound vac on his foot, and it seems to be doing very much better, so continue to pray for him. He's got a long road to go in front of him, having trouble getting around, and so he's got himself like a little life that's within 6 feet of his recliner, so make sure that you pray for him, that he'll get over that very quickly so he can move forward and try to get that healed up. So make sure you pray for him. Amen? Amen. Well, Psalms chapter 1, last week we talked about the man that walketh not in the counsel. We talked about the counsel of the ungodly. We talked about the way of sinners. We talked about the seed of the scornful. We talked about all those things, but that verse is speaking of the man that is blessed that does not walk in those things. So we talked about what those things were, but this verse is actually dealing with the man that does not do these things and being blessed because of it. Now, understand, and we went into this, so I won't spend a lot of time here, but to do these things, to be blessed by the Lord in some parts of your life, you have to get away from folks and get away from these things in your life that would lead you to do the things that we talked about. And again, I won't belabor this, but there are folks that you can hang around that will make you desire to be in the way of sinners, the seed of the scornful, and these type of things. There's folks that you can be around. You got to get yourself away from that so you don't do it yourself. Now, it's not an easy thing because your flesh is always battling with your spirit. But this verse is dealing with the man that doesn't do these things. It's a solemn warning from the Lord. If you don't do these things, you're going to be blessed. If you stay away from these things, you'll be better for it. If you ignore these things and leave them behind, you'll be able to walk a better Christian life. How many would say that they would love to walk a better Christian life? I mean, good. Now, if anybody would say no to that, I would believe they'd be a liar. So if you look at this in verse 2, after seeing this verse 1, but his delight. Now we know what delight is. Delight for me is seeing a yellow cake with chocolate frosting come to my door. Delight for me is knowing that I'm pulling into the Dairy Queen parking lot. Delight for me is seeing a brand new fresh pot of coffee. Delight for me is a cold drink of water on a real hot day. Delight for me is a bunch of great things that I look forward in life. So if you can liken some of the best things in your life, the delight of a blessed man. Now see, this is dealing with a blessed man because the first verse deals with blessed is the man that doesn't do the things we're going to talk about. Then verse 2 comes along and says, but his delight, what he loves, what he desires, what he wants, this blessed man, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I know that I am absolutely incorrigible when it comes to bringing these things up. But if you want to have any relationship at all with God, you must read His Bible. Amen. Don't come to me and say my relationship with God is not going very well without asking yourself first, are you reading His Bible? If you're not reading His Bible, don't tell me you've got a close relationship with God. Don't tell me that. And I'm talking about His Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. I'm talking about His Word because they are different. His Word, and you compare it to any of the perversions out there, they're different. Don't tell me that you're in those and you're getting blessed. You're not getting blessed. You might get emotional, but you're not getting blessed. But his delight, his desire, his yellow cake with chocolate frosting, his Dairy Queen parking lot, his desire, his delight, his love, his joy is in the law of the Lord. How much fun do you have? How much joy do you take? How excited do you get to read your Bible? The amen ceased. Well, reading the Bible is hard. It's archaic. It's old. Great, so are you. There's nothing wrong with finding a word in the Bible that you don't know. Get to your dictionary and look it up. And get yourself a Noah Webster's 1828. Don't get the modern day versions. They'll screw you all up too. If you look at these verses, boy, this is so good. If you remind yourself back to the first verse, if you're not having fun reading your Bible, if you're not enjoying reading your Bible, I wonder if you're one of the three things that is mentioned here. If you look in the first verse. I wonder if you're not having fun reading your Bible if you've been walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I wonder if you're not enjoying your Bible if you're standing in the way of sinners. I wonder if you're not enjoying your Bible if you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Well, Brother Dave talks about this all the time. I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about it, so I'm just going to go ahead and not read my Bible. See if you can bless me that way. That's sitting in the seat of the scornful. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, if you don't read your Bible, don't expect to have a relationship with the Lord. Don't expect it. You say, I pray 24 and a half hours a day. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you pray 20,000 hours a day. If you don't read His Bible, you're not going to be blessed.
That's right, amen.
Well, you just told me not to pray. No, I did not. I've said this a million times and we'll keep going, but Bible readings here, number one. First, number one, amen. Don't talk to me about anything else if you're not reading His Bible. Number two, right underneath it is prayer. It really is. Prayer and Bible reading, they're not next to each other. They're not equal. Boy, that don't preach very good. I know people just want to sit around and say, I pray all the time. Pray, pray, pray all the time. That's fine, but if you're not reading this Bible, you got it messed up. Bible reading should be number one. I don't care. You don't have to read through your Bible in a year. You don't have to read four chapters a day. I don't care if you get one sentence out. Open the Bible. Take the time. Beat your flesh. Beat your flesh. Beat your flesh and open up your Bible. Get back that day. Take the spirit side and say, you know what? I'm going to read my Bible today only if it's only one verse. I'm going to read my Bible if it's one verse. My delight is going to be in the law of the Lord, by the way. Delight in the law of the Lord does not come with reading it once. It doesn't. The joy of reading the Bible, the excitement of opening its wonderful pages, the realization that you're reading a love letter coming to you from your Savior up above, that delight comes after training yourself to read your Bible, after fighting your flesh in reading your Bible. This is not going over very well because I don't have any time in my day. Yes, that's the problem. That's the problem. This should become priority.
Amen. That's it. Exactly.
The question comes, I don't ever want you to trust me, ever. Exactly. When it comes to preaching, how dare you trust me? I'm flesh. I'm a man.
Right.
If I'm not preaching what this says, then you should get up and walk out of here.
Amen.
Because you need to have truth. Exactly. This Bible, this book, this blessed joy that we have coming from the Lord, you're not going to get excited about it unless you get in it. Now, His delight, His excitement, His joy, His love, His wonder, what He wants to do is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. It's amazing to me. I was just talking about praying. How often should we pray? What's the Bible say? Without ceasing. Aren't you glad you have your Bible? Pray without ceasing. That way I can't tell you that you should pray three times a day. You know why I can't tell you that? I can't tell you should pray three times a day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. Now, it also says, and don't tell me that God's not trying to tell you the same thing I'm telling you. In His law doth He meditate day and night. Is there a third part of time? Daytime, nighttime. What does meditate mean? That does not mean I can't cross my legs that way. It does not mean that you're sitting here like this rocking back and forth with the Eastern meditation. It does not mean that you're taking time and just sitting there in a stoic position, unmoving, incense burning in the background. That's not what meditation is. Meditation is thinking with deep thought on God's Word all day long and all night long. What has God told me today? Now let me ask you a question. Did God tell you anything if you didn't get in His Bible? See? I'm having fun. You might not be having fun. I'm having fun. The reason that you need to read His Bible before you pray is because, and I told you this too,
Don't you think that you would want to hear from him before he needs to hear from you? Don't you think that God Almighty has something to tell you long before you tell him? Okay? Now, understand this. If you're supposed to meditate day and night in his Bible, and you're supposed to pray without ceasing, aren't those just giant chunks of your life that God wants you to devote to him? Think about that for a moment. We're talking about the blessed man. I'm not talking about the normal man. I'm talking about the blessed man. I'm not talking about the discouraged man or the depressed man. I'm talking about the blessed man. The man that has a desire to get close to the Lord will meditate in his law day and night. What did God tell you? What does God want you to know? What good is Sunday school if you don't learn at school? What good is it if we don't get together and read God's Bible, discern what it says, hear from the Lord above? What good is it? How can we be blessed if we don't desire to put a little work in? How can we be blessed if we don't get in his Bible? How can we be blessed? Well, the Bible says that blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. But this next verse says, his delight, though the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I get the biggest kick. I got the wonderful chance this last week to speak to a man. He was in his 70s. I'm not going to tell you what church he goes to, but he went to a church, and last week we talked about salvation in the Sunday evening service. Very simple. I honestly thought that it was just a rah-rah, I'm so glad I'm saved message. He wants to meet me down in my office after. He said, boy, I sure would like to talk with you. I said, that's great. So I went down and met with him in my office. You know, for ever since he was 20, he was 70 now, so when he was 20, I believe is what he told me. Don't quote me on that, but I believe he was 20 years old. So how many years is that? 50 years. He told me that he wasn't sure of his salvation for 50 years. He got saved. Here's what happened. A preacher told him that you can lose it. Now, wait a minute. If I stood up here today, a preacher told him he could lose it. Can I ask you a question? Is he delighting in the law of the Lord? Wait a minute now. He's not happy. He is, I'm telling you, you could see it in his face. He's scared to death. By the way, you ought to be too. If you're not saved today, you ought to be scared to death. His preacher told him that he could lose his salvation. Let me ask you a question. How do you know you can't? Here's the next question. Where? See, here's what you've got to understand. You better be able to take yourself to John chapter 10, verse 28. You better be able to take yourself to a place in the Bible so you don't have to rely on a preacher to tell you. You better not have to rely. See, what bothers me is the people's faith dwells on the man of God or dwells on the person of God or dwells on what they hear, dwells on men, dwells on their thought. I don't want your faith to dwell on that. I want your faith to dwell on this. I want your faith to dwell on what the Bible says. And if you got inside your Bible, you'll know that you can't lose your salvation. If you got in your Bible, you'll know that you can't work to get it. If you delight in his law, I promise you, if you think about what he's told you, he'll show you what you need to know. Should you come to church and hear your preacher? Sure. Should you come to church and listen to your man of God? Sure. But you better develop a faith throughout the way. You better develop your faith throughout the way. You better grow in grace yourself along the way. Because that way, if I tell you something that's not true, by the way, we're pretty smart in this room. I'm telling you right now, the people in this room are pretty smart. If I came up here and told you the King James Bible was not the pure word of God, the room would lose air quick. Oh, yeah, amen. Why? Because you know it. Why? Because I've told you. See, I believe you know it because you know it in here. Amen. 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 Now, as we look at this verse in Psalm chapter 1, why do we go over this? But we want a blessed man. We want a blessed thought. We want a blessed hope. We want all these things. His delight, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He thinks about it with deep contemplation. Meditation is different than thinking. Meditation is different than thinking. 2 plus 2 is 4. I thought about that. But meditation is, why is it 2 + 2 = 4? And by the way, I'm not getting into that. Because I'll be honest, I'm not sure I know that question. Why? If you want to think about something that'll get you crazy, why did God save you? Huh? See, a blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. I want you to think about a question for the next week, and this is not homework, but I want you to think about it. Why did he save you? The easy Sunday school answer is because he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the pastor told me so. That's the easy Sunday school answer. Meditate on that for a minute. Can anybody give me a good reason for Jesus to save you? Don't you raise your hands now. Can you think of one thing that you offer? Meditate on his word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why? Meditate on that. Think about that for a moment. You meditate on why Jesus saved you, you're going to have a better week. I'm being honest. Blessed is the man that delights in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And then he meditates on that, thinks about it, thinks about the hard question. Why would Jesus save me? There is no reason. That love transcends anything that we can put in our mind. That love transcends, that's where faith comes. Glory to God, that's where faith comes. I don't know why he loves me, but he does. Why? Because the Bible tells me he does. And that's exciting to know, and it gives you great hope and joy. I can't pay the bills, but Jesus loves me. My house is falling apart, but my mansion isn't. Amen. The streets are full of potholes, but the streets of gold are smooth. You start contemplating and thinking about and meditating what God wants you to know. I promise you, your week will go better. Blessed is that man. And this man, he, this blessed man, verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. A blessed man, not the man that walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. Not this man. Not the man that standeth in the way of sinners. Not that man. Not the man that sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's not the tree planted by the rivers of water. He's not that tree. No way, not that man. Blessed man, the blessed man that's delighting in the law of the Lord. That man, by the way, if you're depressed, I'm telling you, you're not fitting in this. If you're upset and discouraged, and everybody gets that way, don't look at me and say, well, I never get discouraged. You are a liar. But if you're that way, you're not delighting in his law. If you're that way and you're having a hard time, it's because you've not read his Bible enough. Well, I can't get over it. I'm having a hard time. Get in his Bible. Get in his Bible. Get in his Bible. Talk to him. Think about him. And you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What is that like? That's a tree that has the never-ending supply of its life-giving substance given to it. That tree is a slow grower. I believe that with all my heart. The best Christian is a slow grower. He's a grower that stands strong and stands tall right by that river of water. Stands strong and stands tall right there. So when the storms of life come, what happens to the tree? It still stands. You say, I don't understand everything in the Bible. Let me help you out. Nobody does. Not one person. Don't let them lie to you. I was looking through Preacher's Library, and the book on the binder, the title, I saw the title crack me up. The title of the book was An Exhaustive Knowledge of the Bible, written by whoever. An Exhaustive Knowledge of the Bible. Now, I laughed because there's nobody that has an exhaustive knowledge of the Bible. Amen. That resides on this earth. Amen. Nobody. Nobody knows everything. You want to get crazy in a Bible study? Take Matthew one time, the book Matthew. All the time it says, it says of old time or in the Old Testament or in the prophets. Look those up. Almost all of them are in Psalms, Deuteronomy. You'll find them in the Old Testament. It's not hard to find them. The words coincide. It's real easy. Look that up one time and you tell me that you saw that before Matthew told you. Huh? Look over in Isaiah chapter 53, and Isaiah, with God giving him the knowledge, you tell me that you knew right off the bat who that was. You tell me all the things that God gives you in the Bible. Don't you tell me you know everything. That's why we've got to study it. That's why we've got to get into it. That's why we've got to try to learn what the Lord tries to tell us. And if we look at this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water when the storms of life come. If I'm meditating in his law day and night, if I'm praying to him, if I'm reading his Bible, it will help me to stand when life gets hard. It'll help me to stand when the things go bad. It'll help me to stand in the midst of discouragement. It'll help me to stand through the tough weeks when I can't pay the bills. It'll help me to stand. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I love a person that has been through difficult times, and boy, I tell you, I've had the wonderful opportunity to witness some great men of the faith within this last few years. I've watched men that have gone through things that would make normal folks just say, I'm done with the Lord. I've watched men sit by their spouse's bedside and give them into the hands of the Lord and say, you know what, it's all in God's hands. Oh, that's easy to say when it's not yours. I've watched men go through health issues and say, you know what, I'm clinging on to Christ. I've watched men go through health issues, sitting in their homes, not being able to get around, saying, you know what, it's all in God's hands. He's going to have to take care of me. I've watched men lose their wives and be able to point to God and say, I'll see her again. What joy does that give me? What hope does that give me? Because when the storms of life come, I know I can have the faith. I know I can have the hope. I know I can have the joy. Why? Because I've watched the other trees that stand by the river. I've watched the other men that have grown. I've watched the other men that have stood. I've watched the other folks that have been loyal and been good and studied the Bible and meditated, and God gave them strength in their time. And that fruit, by the way, these people don't even know they were giving fruit. These people don't even know they were bearing fruit. These people don't even know they were taking care of future lives. That gives me hope and joy that someday I can stand. That's fruit. How can we have fruit if we won't meditate in His law? How can we have fruit if we won't delight in His law? How can we have fruit if we don't stand in times of trouble? It's easy to stand when times are good. But how can we stand when times are hard? How can we stand without Him? This world doesn't care about you. This world and the folks out there don't have that care. They don't. The Lord cares for you. And I don't know how people are walking through this day and age without knowing Him. I don't know how they're making it. I don't know how they're walking step after step after step in this ungodly land with no hope. I don't know how they're doing it. But I'm sure glad that there are some that are blessed. I'm sure glad there are some that are standing. I am sure glad that there's some like trees planted by the rivers of water, so I have someone to look to. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, I can just blow into Joel Osteen right here. Man, you trust in God, you're going to prosper. You're going to get all kind of money. And you can put it in my chicken buckets as I pass them around. Glory to God. Buy my Hallmark cards on the way out. That prosperity is not monetarily. It could be part of it. But just because a man's got a lot of money doesn't mean God blessed him. I watch a lot of wicked rich people. That prosperity is the prosperity that comes from peace within. That prosperity is coming to the realization that God has taken care of you. That prosperity is watching a prayer get answered. That's prosperity. That prosperity is watching your fruit come to fruition in someone else's lives. Your fruit, that joy, that prosperity, that rich man in the Lord, that's what this prosperity speaks of. Not prosperity preaching where you give $10 and he'll give you back $1,000. Not saying he won't, but I'm certainly not saying he will. That prosperity comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is the one we're looking upon. His Bible, His law is what we're meditating in. We're praying to Him and talking to Him. How do we be a blessed man? We're a blessed man when we do what God tells us to do. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And verse 4 goes back to the ungodly. And I believe the Lord does this because we so often, it's amazing to me, I see this and I've seen it in my life and the life of many others. I look at that verse number 3 and I look at the man that's a blessed man. And I believe the Lord puts in verse number 4 not for the benefit of the ungodly. I believe He puts in that verse 4 for the benefit of the ones that are blessed. Now let's read this together. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not like trees. The ungodly are not those blessed people. The ungodly are not the ones meditating. The ungodly are not having non-withering leaves. These men, the ungodly, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now the chaff is the waste part of wheat or the waste part of grain. Very light, worthless. It absolutely is worth nothing. The chaff is either burned or just cast out and they're not, and it's trampled under the feet of the animals or whatever, but it's not used. Chaff is unusable. No benefit. The ungodly are no benefit. The ungodly are folks or people or circumstances that have no benefit for the people of God, no benefit for the blessed man. And here's what's amazing to me. These ungodly, these chaff that the wind driveth away, the ungodly folks, sometimes we look upon them and say that they're the ones prospering. Well, I'm going to stay right there for a moment. We as Christians, it's amazing to me how much focus we put on the material. It is amazing, and by the way, it's so easy to do. Don't act like you've never done it. But it's so easy to get your focus on the things of the world because you'll watch the ungodly and you'll say, why do they have the car? Man, the ungodly, good night, Bill Gates, rich, one of the richest men in the whole wide world. He doesn't know the Lord. Why does he have all that stuff? And here we are, godly people struggling. You ever said that? You liars. We say those things because we see with our eyes the way of the world. We see with our eyes the wicked prospering. But that's not prosperity. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. And I don't want anybody to suffer. And there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having things. It's when our mind's eye gets out of the meditation of the law of the Lord and into the meditation of how do I get rich? Into the meditation of, boy, I sure wish I was a celebrity. Man, you couldn't give me enough money to be a celebrity. Good night and a morning, those idiots. You know what's amazing to me? Is that because you're on TV, you're automatically an expert on whatever you're talking about. You ever seen that? They get Alex Trebek to come on there. And by the way, I don't know Alex Trebek. I like Jeopardy. But why is Alex Trebek an absolute expert on life insurance? Can you answer me that question? Why? Well, bless God, Alex Trebek, he knows every answer in Jeopardy. Well, he knows every answer because he's got the cards. You ever think for a moment that he could be an absolute moron that just reads good? He could be looking at us and go, yeah, I have no idea what that answer is. That's new to me. You know, it's amazing to me, though, that we'll see somebody on the boob tube and we'll think, well, bless God, they must know what they're talking about. They're on the TV. I got news for you. The vast majority, if not 99% of the people on the TV have no idea what the Bible says. Our illustrious leader. I hate going here. I really do. I hate it. But I'm going to tell you right now to stand up behind some sort of podium and say, you know what? Same-sex marriage ought to be treated just like any other marriage. That man's never been in his Bible one day. And don't you tell me he's a Christian. You make me want to puke. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And many Christians are being duped into, well, you just got to love somebody. Christians are being duped into this. Here's what's amazing to me and saddened at the same time. That we'll look at them and say, they're prosperous. We'll look at them and say, they've got it all. We'll look at them and say, all these things, oh man, that's not prosperity. A relationship with Jesus Christ is all the prosperity you can ever want. And it's free. It costs us nothing. Because it cost him everything. It costs us nothing to have this relationship, yet it's the one thing we don't desire to have. Give me a new car, bless God. Give me a new home, big one. Give me a gold driveway. I'm going to tell you right now, everything's gold in heaven. Look at this now. Those people, the ungodly, are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, because of this, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. When the time comes and the chips begin to fall, the ungodly will not stand. You, the saved people, the ones that have a relationship with Christ, those are the ones that will stand. That's what the Bible says. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Do you know why the way of the ungodly shall perish? Because it's not his way. The way of the ungodly is not his way. If it's ungodly, it can't be godly. Does that make sense to you? That way is going to perish because that way, although it works today. Do you know how insane it is that basketball players are squabbling over $100 million contracts? $100 million? I'd like to have $100. And they're squabbling over another million, another 2 million, another year on the contract. Bless God. Have we gone nuts? That's what we look to is, oh my goodness, that's my role model. I'm going to tell you right now, Carl McDaniel's my role model.
Amen. Yeah.
You know why? I've watched him be faithful. You know who I look to? But I don't care what you tell me. Get mad at me, snarl at me all you want to. Oh, not look at men. I'm going to tell you, I don't look at the men. I follow their faith.
Exactly.
I know he's a sinner. I know he's a sinner. He probably called you a bad name the other day. But I watched his faith. I've watched his faith. I've watched his faith. I've watched Brother Danny's faith. I've watched faith of the men that are listed in this room, and I've watched you. I've watched you. I've watched you. And I've seen you do things for God, and I saw you do things for God when the chips were down. I saw you do things for God when there's no way that anyone else would have stood unless they had a relationship with God. I watched you. I watched you go through things. I watched you have faith in God. That's prosperity. I got to witness that. You can't buy that prosperity with any amount of money in the world. I don't care if you bring LeBron James onto the church basketball team. We'd probably still lose. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's prosperity. Down here, we hope to have a big, nice house. Up in heaven, we have a mansion. I get the biggest kick out of how they tried to corner Jesus. And I know the bell is rung. We're almost done. Just hang on. I watched when they tried to corner Jesus about paying taxes. Remember that? Well, bring me the penny. That penny who to Jesus is fancy dirt. Is it not? I don't care what it's made out of. Copper, gold, whatever. It's all dirt to him. He made it all dirt, right? Where did he get gold from? You get gold out of the dirt. It's amazing to me. You know why it's precious, by the way? Well, it's a rabbit trail. We'll run it a little bit. Do you know why gold is precious? Because the Bible says it's precious. Otherwise, it wouldn't be precious. Iron pyrite looks just like gold. Why isn't that precious? Because the Bible doesn't say iron pyrite is precious. That's just the way it is. And here we see Jesus. Oh, what do you think? Jesus, do you think it's lawful to pay the money, the tribute to Caesar, or do you think not? Answer that question, buddy. Jesus says, bring me the penny. Whose superscription is this? Who is claiming this piece of dirt? It's Caesar's. Well, render unto Caesar's. What is Caesar's? What do I care about copper? What do I care about gold? What do I care about that kind of stuff? This is nothing to me. I tell you what you do. Go catch me a fish. Hey, man, isn't that wonderful? Don't you wish you could take care of the IRS by going fishing? Wouldn't that be wonderful? They cast out, catch a fish. Hey, grab the coin out of that fish's mouth and give it unto Caesar. I'd rather give him fish vomit than my money. Isn't that wonderful? We look at money like it's the end-all, be-all, but the love of money is what? It's not the money that's evil. The love of the money is the root of all evil. We look at that as prosperity. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is being the blessed man. Prosperity is being able to walk with your head held high, believing that Jesus Christ has taken care of you. That's prosperity. Prosperity that you can't buy with money. I don't care how many fish you catch. Prosperity that you can't have. I don't care what kind of house you live in. You can be prosperity. Prosperous. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you drive. I don't care what you wear. Makes no difference. You can be prosperous in the Lord Jesus Christ by being the blessed man. What should we do? Well, we shouldn't walk with the people that are not godly. And we should get ourselves a relationship with Christ. That's what Psalm 1 tells us. Meditate in His law. Now, I asked you to think about a question. I want you to think about it this week. I really do. Why would God save you? Think about that for a minute. What do you have to offer that God would want to save you? When you think about that, then think about what He did to make sure you had an opportunity. And if you can get that running around in your head for a little while, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. You won't think about the world so much when you realize how good God really is. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Phil, can you lead us in prayer, please?